gifts. Good morning, Father, Son. Thank you for feeding all living things on earth. Thank you, plant kingdom. Thank you, trees and plants, for converting the sun's light into edible foods that we can consume and digest, and for providing oxygen in the air that we breathe. Good morning, water. Thank you for being 75% of our body. We are one, and we bless you and protect you because we cannot live without you. Good morning, animal kingdom. Thank you for your companionship, your beauty and splendor, and for your sacrifice of life so that we may eat and live. Thank you, great spirit that moves in all things. Thank you for our lives and for the opportunity to be here and to be of service in this sacred earth garden of life. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Good morning or afternoon, depending on what part of the world you're in. My name is Marlise Wappenwind, and I'll be filling in for Carolyn today. And I'd first like to begin by thanking her for giving me this wonderful opportunity of having some time to talk with you. For those of you who were with her for the show on the winter solstice, December 21st, I was her guest that day. And we had a wonderful time talking together. So I hope you'll enjoy as much as I did the opportunity to communicate with all of you, and that you will enjoy the guest that I'll be bringing in a little bit later in my show today. And her name is Star Savoy. And before she comes on, I'll tell you more about her. I'd like to begin by putting out two quotes that come from Sunbearer, who was one of my teachers, and I'd like those to be a focus point for this show and something that we can return back to as we talk about other things. But I think they're really important thoughts for people to have at this particular time that we're on the earth. And the first is perhaps my favorite quote from Sunbearer, and that is, "In gentleness, there is great strength." Power, most of the time, can be a very quiet thing. I want to repeat that once more because it is so important and something that I don't think we're seeing a lot of in the world today. In gentleness, there is great strength. Power, most of the time, can be a very quiet thing. In Native cultures, the person who was the chief or the head of the tribe or the clan mother was always there because they were gentle people and they were fair people. And if the tribe did not like the way the leadership was behaving, they would just get up and move away. An interesting thought. The other quote that I'd like you to think about is, if your philosophy doesn't grow corn, I don't want to hear about it. And Sunbearer said that all the time, and he was not talking about farming most of the time when he was saying this. Again, if your philosophy doesn't grow corn, I don't want to hear about it. I've had a very interesting life. It can be divided really into four different sections. I am not Native. I am of Welsh heritage, although if you go back far enough, my ancestors lived very close to the earth and in ways that were not very different from the ways that the Native people did in this country. I grew up in a 1.5-room apartment in Newark, New Jersey. My great-grandparents came over from Wales to be coal miners. I did not grow up in a life of privilege or a lot of material things. And I saw a lot of children around me who were in the same situation. And this is something that I do want to talk with you about today, because I think the children and how we treat the children is such an important part of the future of the earth and the future of our race of human beings. I think that right now we're at a point where we might be able to consider raising human beings to be human. And I think this is something that we have not been emphasizing anywhere near as much as we should for many, many thousands of years. Since the time when the native people lived close to the earth and were much more aware of the circle of life and the great gift the children brought, each child, each unique individual that was born into the tribe and into the world. I want to talk and think today about the concept of vision, the concept of destiny, and how one person can make a profound positive difference in many, many lives. And I will be using Sunbear's vision of the medicine wheel as a focus for all of these concepts. In part, I want to talk about this because I have a 23-year-old daughter, and I have the privilege of talking with her and her friends quite a bit, and they're all very concerned about their future. They don't know what the world is going to bring them, and they think they should. I think as you get older, you realize you don't know what the world's going to bring you, but that's just the way life is, and you learn to live with it. You learn that there are cycles and different time periods in your life, and that life is not a linear progression. Unfortunately, education tends to teach children that it should be, that you should have a goal from the time you're in preschool. The preschool goal is to go to the best kindergarten. Kindergarten goal is to go to the best elementary school, etc. And then you're supposed to get the best job and make the best marriage and have the best children. And everything is supposed to be laid down in a plan that goes from point A to point C, if you're lucky. And that is not the way life is. And Native people knew that. They saw life as a circle. That's where the beginning of the vision of the medicine wheel came from. That is one of the most important concepts that people can learn from the medicine wheel. A circular view makes you realize that you should be concerned with the journey, not with the beginning and the ending. It also teaches you that the major point of your own life is to find your vision. And once you find it, as long as it does not get in the way of anyone else's vision or harm anyone else, that it is your responsibility to follow that vision. And vision is a concept that I'm very glad to see has come back into the world, not just in Native cultures, but also in non-Native ones as well. I have some dear long-term friends who started something called the School of Lost Borders, which has brought the vision quest idea to many adolescents and to elders, to people in hospice, to people who are going through a wide variety of life changes, and teaching them that it is possible today to go out on Mother Earth and be there quietly and listen and to find your vision. Stephen Foster and Meredith Little were the founders of the School of Lost Borders, and Joseph Lazanka, who studied with Sun Bear and was with the Bear Tribe for a period of time, is the director of the school now, and they do wonderful work. They teach people, as we did at the Bear Tribe, that vision doesn't have to be the panoramic burning bush that gives you your entire life map in one flash of realization. When I helped Sun Bear to write about his life in his biography, which is called The Path of Power, and a very, very interesting book to read, we looked first at his visions because so much of his life was based upon them. And his visions began when he was a child. They began when he was about 5 years old, and he actually at that point had diphtheria and was very, very sick. And out of his sickness came his first visions. And those were very broad-based visions, the ones that he had as a child. But then as he got older, more and more visions came and helped to clarify the original one. And eventually he had the vision of the medicine wheel. And I would like to take a moment to read you that vision, because I think it's a very beautiful thing to think about. And so much has come from it, and we'll continue to talk about that as we go further into the show. In the Medicine Wheel book that Sun Bear and I wrote, the vision says, "I saw a hilltop bare of trees, and there was a soft breeze blowing. The prairie grass was moving gently. Then I saw a circle of rocks that came out like the spokes of a wheel. Inside was another circle of rocks, nearer to the center. I knew that here was the sacred circle, the sacred hoop of my people. Inside of the center circle was the buffalo skull. And coming up through ravines from the four directions were what looked like animals. As they came closer, I saw that they were people wearing headdresses and animal costumes. They moved to the circle, and each group entered at sunrise, making a complete circle before they settled on their place in the wheel. First, people came to the place of the north, to the winter, the time of resting for ourselves and the Earth Mother, the place that represents the time when we have the white hairs of snow upon our heads, the place where I am now." And Native people often said that you did not have a right to have an opinion until you did have the white hair, the snow upon your heads. This is the time when we both impart the wisdom that we've gathered from life, and we prepare to change both worlds and forms. Then there were those who ended up on the east, the place of awakening, of birth, of spring, the place representing mankind's birth and beginning. Next came those representing the south, the time of summer, the years of fruitfulness and rapid growth. Then there were people who came to the west, the time of fall, when we reap our harvest, when we have found the knowledge needed to center ourselves. The west is the home of the west wind, father of all the winds. All the people were singing the song of their season, of their minerals, of their plants, of their totem animals. And they were singing songs for the healing of the Earth Mother. A leader among them was saying, "Let the medicine of the sacred circle prevail. Let many people across the land come to the circle and make prayers for the healing of the Earth Mother. Let the circles of the medicine wheel come back." In this vision were gathered people of all the clans, of all the directions, of all the totems, and in their hearts they carried peace. That was the vision I saw. When Sun Bear first came to me and shared this vision, we realized that it was one that had to be shared with a much wider group of people. And we first put it together as an actual circle, kind of a, if you remember what a phonograph record is, a large phonograph record with a smaller one inside, so you could twist it around and see the different places that you could travel on the medicine wheel. And then on one day, we decided to send it to a man who was my literary agent, a fine gentleman named Oscar Collier. It arrived to him on his birthday, and he saw that this little circle had a lot of knowledge that he felt people had to hear and that would be helpful to the world today. At that point, he was also working as an editor at Prentice Hall Press, which later became part of Simon & Schuster, and became our publisher. And they published the Medicine Wheel book, in which we put a whole lot more information. The Medicine Wheel book is what I call a coyote or trickster book. People pick it up because they think they're going to read about themselves, and everybody likes to hear about themselves. But in doing so, they learn a little bit about their totems in the mineral, the plant, the animal kingdoms. And they learn about the circle of life, and they learn about the beauty of nature. they also, if they're lucky, learn that they are each in their own way wonderful, unique aspects of the great mystery. That's how Native people referred to what we call God today, the great mystery. And instead of making it a noun, they made it a verb. It was not a static thing. It was the great mystery that is within all things and around all things, that is always moving, changing, and growing. This is all part of what the medicine wheel teaches. It also teaches that to the medicine wheel come people from all races, all religions, all belief systems. Sunbearer always was concerned with the love in people's hearts, not the color of their skin. My vision has always been similar. My vision came from my childhood, the first of the four parts of my life that I've experienced so far. And in my childhood, I saw that there seemed to be a great lack of love. And often that lack of love was from parent to child. And I saw children being treated in a way that no child deserves to be treated. And I knew that this was wrong, and there had to be a better way for people to love their children and raise their children. I did not often observe gentle strength, love, or respect for children who were human beings who had the right to have their own vision. Instead, children seemed to be considered part of the possessions of the parents. They were supposed to do what the parents said and follow the profession, the vision that the parents put down for them. Unfortunately, I don't think things have changed that much today. I knew as a child that people should be free to find work that was meaningful to them, love that made them feel more whole, and knowledge of the world that challenged them to continue to learn and grow throughout their time on Earth. I was blessed to be able to work with Sunbearer and many other Native elders. And that's a long story, one that I began to tell in the first spiritual odyssey, spiritual biography I wrote many years ago called Woman of the Dawn, and one that I will be continuing to tell in the novels and the memoirs that I will be working on in the very near future. In the second part of my life, I had the ability to be educated very well in the normal educational system. I have a master's degree from Columbia Graduate School of Journalism. And in the third part of my life, I had the opportunity to be educated by many Native elders who no longer walk on the earth plane. And they told me as they were teaching me, and in large part they taught me because I was willing to be quiet and listen to them, and not many people were at that time. They taught me that it would be my responsibility to go back to my own people and share with them the knowledge I had learned. During this period, I also helped Sunbearer to bring forth a community of people that became an apprentice program that became worldwide. I also had the opportunity of helping him to start the Medicine Wheel gatherings that came from the Medicine Wheel book. And they spread all over the world. They were wonderful, magical times. They were the first large gatherings that brought together people of many tribes, races, and religions to share their teachings with each other and those who came to hear them. Often we'd have over 1,000 people attending. Many of the shamans who are teaching now and have taught in the past, and in fact many of the shamans that have been on this program with Carolyn, were people that had been at Medicine Wheel gatherings. There were two more books that came from the Medicine Wheel vision, Dancing with the Wheel, which is a wonderful workbook that gives you lots of ceremonies and ways of actually working with the medicine wheel, and Dreaming with the Wheel, which tells you about this symbology of the medicine wheel as it can come to you in your dreams. The medicine wheel has sold over 2 million copies worldwide. It's available in at least 8 languages. And right now I have a woman in Spain who is negotiating with me about bringing it out in Spanish, because thus far it hasn't come out in that very important language. There have been countless medicine wheel circles built because of this vision and ceremonies conducted around them, ceremonies for healing of people in the earth. And the vision continues to grow. There are two women, Jennifer Welsh Frist and Sushi Waters Benjamin, who are now doing seminars for young women based on the medicine wheel visions and dream work. The medicine wheel work continues in Europe and Japan, and I'm sure many other places. This year, I will be opening up a new website called the Medicine Wheel Earth Astrology, and it will be a clearinghouse to tell about what is happening worldwide from this vision. If you have information you would like me to consider including, you can reach me now through my website, which is Marlise, M-A-R-L-I-S-E, Wabun, W-A-B-U-N, Wind, W-I-N-D.com. One of the people who has taken this vision further is my guest today, Star Savoy. And Star, who is coming in with a little, I'm sure, allergy cough, is an intuitive and spiritual astrologer, a teacher and collage artist. She's a passionate advocate for Native American ways and symbolic interpretations. Star is of Cherokee heritage and has a deep love for Earth Mother and for all of our relations. She's studied astrology and integrated sacred teachings in her life and work for over 30 years. And I've been working with her since 1999, when she contacted me about creating a medicine wheel astrology coloring set, which later became medicine wheel astrology greeting cards and a guide. And Star combines her knowledge of traditional astrology with her knowledge of earth astrology in the readings that she gives for people. And I hope she'll tell you how you can contact her about those. I have had Star read for my daughter, and that tells you how greatly I hold her reading ability in regard. And Star, I'd like you to come in now and tell us first a little bit more about yourself.
All right. Well, thank you, Marlise. I was so enthralled with listening to you when you said my name. I went, oh, it's time for me. What a beautiful life has been there. Oh, I've loved reading the books, and thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you. And again, I want to thank Carolyn for giving both of us this opportunity.
All right. All right. Well, I'll tell you, when I first read the book, The Medicine Wheel Earth Astrology, it was back in the late 90s. And when I read it, it touched my heart so deeply. I knew then I was working with Sun Bear. He was around me a lot then. As a matter of fact, we did a lot of body, mind, spirit, and earth expos up in Spokane over the years. And one year I was talking about the medicine wheel, and this woman came up to me from Europe, and she had never heard of it before. And when she came up and she said how much she enjoyed the talk, she said, well, who was that man standing next to you with that big black hat? Wow. And I went, okay, thank you. So here Sun Bear is getting us together again.
Yes, and Sun Bear actually is the reason that Carolyn got in touch with me. She said he came to her in a dream and said, find Wappen and talk to her on your radio show.
I love it. Well, one of the things that I wanted to mention was that I happen to have Sun Bear's chart. We don't know what time he was born, But I was looking at some things in his chart that said his voice has come back around now to be heard. His work is here now. And if you want to talk a little bit about astrology, I can maybe show the audience a little bit about that, or however you want to do this.
That would be fine. I'm sure there are a lot of people in the audience who are very interested in astrology.
Okay. Well, astrology to me is fascinating anyway. I don't think it's who we are, but I do think it's what we came to learn about. And it gives us a lot of clues on our life's purpose and areas of focus. And so through natural astrology, or regular Western astrology is what I've done, when I started integrating the medicine wheel with the clan and the totems and the minerals, it became really, really fascinating to incorporate that. As I was looking at Sun Bear's chart, and we don't have his exact time of birth because he was born on the reservation, as you had written in the book. There wasn't a time of birth, but we know where the planets were when he was born. And one of the most significant things, he's a Virgo with his Sun and his Neptune, which Neptune is a spiritual energy. So with his Sun and Neptune both in Virgo, he was born to be of service. And totally, we know that from the work that he's done, that he had to go through a lot of processes of internal assimilation. And Virgo also rules the stomach and the breast, but that ability to assimilate. And I think he did a lot of that, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Virgolizing, you know, to analyze everything, to really look at the depth in that. But he also had his Moon and Venus, both in the sign of Cancer, as well as Pluto. And Pluto is a transformational energy. The Moon is the soul's longing, and Venus is our artistic ability. And he has all those in the sign of Cancer. So he got along really wonderful with women, with his Moon and Venus in Cancer. He had a real understanding about feeding people and wanting to nourish them and wanting them to grow. No wonder he said, if it doesn't grow corn,
right.
That's the sign Cancer.
Right.
Let's feed everybody. And that transformation that he went through was that love and understanding of the feminine, the earth mother, the aspect of that nurturing. And when you see his life's work and see all of that energy at work there, no wonder he was so passionate about what he does. He also had his part of fortune, Mercury and Mars in the sign of Libra, which showed him as a peacemaker. When he went after a cause, nothing could stop him. Look at all of the legal battles that he was in. You know, those are all Libra, which just again showed that desire to have a balance and peace in life. But what intrigued me the most is the planet Jupiter. Jupiter stays 1 year in each sign, and it doesn't come back around for 12 years. And when he was born, he had the sun, Jupiter, which is expansion and opportunities and really reaching out. It's the largest planet in our solar system, so it has a lot of protection energy. In the sign of Gemini, which is the communicator, it's also deer in the medicine wheel, so that ability to communicate to Gemini with that gentleness that he possessed. Well, having that when he was born, Jupiter is there right now. So it's sitting right on top of his Jupiter, which would have been, he would have been 84 this year. But here, Jupiter, communication, Gemini is back around again saying, listen, hear my voice, speak for me. That's what I get from that. Does that make sense?
It absolutely makes sense. And it seems like he is sending messages. He is through his own form of IMing to quite a number of people right now.
Well, it's interesting. One other aspect that kind of hit home is the planet Uranus. It has a long transit cycle, sometimes 18 years. Right now it's in the sign of Aries, which is that first warrior that comes out and says, I am here, I'm ready, where's the adventure, let's get going. the planet Uranus in Aries is where everything is now. And when he was born, he had Uranus in Aries. So this is an area that's coming around 80-some years later to be right there where he's breaking down the old, to bring in the new again, to bring in the fresh new ideas, to be a spiritual warrior. So that's the vision I got from his chart this morning.
Wow. That is very interesting. And you told me that you had done some comparison between his chart and mine.
And yours. Yes.
Although I must admit that at the moment, I don't remember what time I was born. I have to, and I tried to find it in my birth certificate, but when I was born, they didn't put it on birth certificates. So I know I have it in some readings that other people have done, but not knowing that, what did you see that would be?
Well, the way that I did this is I took his birth chart and I compared where the planets were in yours with his. So this is a comparison. So in that regard, I didn't need to know the exact time of birth because that's where we get the rising sign and we would see the houses. Primarily, what I was looking at is seeing where the two of you connected. And his Jupiter in Gemini is setting right on top of your Uranus in Gemini. Told me that he was very fortunate for you and that you were able to use your intuition and higher mind to access his mental and what he wanted to say. There's that Gemini mental thing going on. His Jupiter brought you the good fortune and the information. Your Uranus knew how to apply that, you see. A real strong connection mentally there would be the first thing that I would see. Also, his Uranus in Aries, right there on top of your Sun and part of Fortune in Aries and your Mercury in Aries. So no wonder you had to be his apprentice, to be right close to him, because when these visions came, you needed to be able to get those down and recall those. And they were like sudden and unexpected thoughts that would come through in dreams.
Yes, yeah? We did work very well together.
A lot of good dreams together. Also, you have your Saturn and your North Node. And in astrology, Saturn is where we face our fears, but that's where we become the teachers of once we've looked at what would scare us. And North Node is considered our destiny. It's the agreement that we make before we come in. Your North Node in the sign of Cancer, and your Saturn in Cancer, from the very beginning, maybe fear about children or being a mother or how to apply these techniques of motherhood that you were speaking about earlier with the children. You see that Cancer in the medicine ways, too, is flicker. And
that is love. Love. Yeah. Yes. And that is, if I can jump in for a bit, I talked about the first three stages of my life and not the fourth. And that's, I've been in the fourth stage for the past 25 years. I had done all this wonderful work being educated first in the ways of Western civilization. And I once had a young man say to me, "You have absolutely no idea of the basis of Western civilization." And this was before I had met Native people. And I said, thank you. I knew it was a compliment. I had not been brainwashed by what the educational system often does. I had not bought the linear view. I had not bought that power, and not quiet power, but strong power was more important than anything else. And then when I went on to work with Sunbear, I had the opportunity to function much of the time as a clan mother, and I also had the opportunity to study with a lot of clan mothers, and they taught me a whole other definition of womanhood from the one I had both learned as a child and then learned as a young and quite political person in New York and an early feminist. And I do consider myself a feminist, but I have a different definition now of what that means. Yeah. Because I think the important thing for women today, and I think we are at a very critical stage, we have had the patriarchal culture that was so prevalent begin to break down from the 1960s until now. And I believe that prior to the patriarchal culture, we had had a worldwide matriarchy. And that didn't work well either, because if we had had a perfect culture, it would still be the one existing. There wouldn't be a reason to change it. And the patriarchy certainly hasn't worked in many ways either. And I think we're at the dawning of the new age, the new time that people are talking about, you know, with the end of the Mayan calendar and things, is a time when men and women are searching for ways to be not the same, but equal. And I think one of the mistakes that early feminism made was women, in order to compete with men, gave up too much of what it is to be a woman. And it was the clan mothers who taught me what that was. And so when I learned all that, I, as Carolyn said, when she talked to me, you kind of dropped off the face of the earth. And I did. Mm-hmm. I decided that the one thing I had not done in this lifetime yet was take on the role of the householder. And that is the role that so many spiritual traditions teach you is absolutely critical for your development. And it certainly has been for mine. And so in the last 25 years, I still worked with Sun Bear while he was alive in the Bear Tribe and still kept up some writing. But mainly I've been a wife and a mother. And I've been a wife to a man that I met at the Bear Tribe, but who realized that shamans today need some other education too. And he went on and became a child and adolescent psychiatrist. And he does wonderful work with children. And we have had the opportunity to raise a beautiful and brilliant and very artistic daughter. And we're very proud of her. And being a mother has taught me many things that I never learned being a clan mother, because when you have that deep one-person connection, it's very, very different. And I feel very privileged to have had this fourth stage of my life and to have met the people I did in that. And a lot of them have been people who are modern-day shamans, who are doctors, cutting-edge medicine people. So my knowledge of integrative medicine has expanded tremendously in this fourth stage. And sometimes for friends and relatives, I kind of act as an informal medical advocate. And the newest book that I just have completed and expect to be out in April is called Regenerative Healing for Life. And it's a new paradigm for treating injuries and pain without surgery. And as you could guess from that, I have had some problems in that regard and found a wonderful doctor, Dr. Scheipel, who was able to help me to overcome these problems without surgery. And the knowledge that he and doctors who practice regenerative medicine have is important to get out in the world. So I've spent the last 3 years working on that book, and I'm very excited for that to be coming out soon.
Well, according to what I'm looking at astrologically, this has been your path, your purpose, which supports, again, how strong astrology is. I'm writing a blog, too, that has to do with the full moon and the new moon and the transits of where the planets are and integrating that into the astrology, which people can find on the medicinewellastrology.com site. There's a link to the blog. But I wanted to just show something to you and the listeners that, as an example, you have your moon in the sign of Capricorn. And Capricorn and Cancer are opposite signs of each other. And Capricorn is the snow goose. It's also the masculine father kind of image that we would see. And Cancer is the feminine, the mother energy. So the two of them together in polarity, you can't separate them. So this this feeling that you've had, your soul's longing to make a difference, to get out of the patriarchal, would be your moon in Capricorn and your south node in Capricorn. You know that male energy so well. What's going on now with the world is Pluto is in Capricorn. So all the structures that we used to know are all breaking down and transforming. This is going to go on until, oh my goodness, 2017, I think, is when we're looking at that chance. But,
wow.
But you see, look at our money system. Look at the foreclosures. Look at the families all coming back together. And Snow Goose is the energy that brings the tribal family energies together. Kids are moving home with their parents. Now people are saying, whoa, we better wait and see what's happening. The banking system. This is all the foundation. So all of that with the opposite sign there of Cancer, when we center ourselves in our heart, which Flicker brings us. I love Flicker. They have the little heart shapes on their tails.
They're beautiful.
The story vaguely that I remember is the Flicker that sat outside the village. Are you familiar with that story? I'm not sure if it was Sun Bear, the way they got the color under their wings. Do you remember that story?
I do, but if you have it right on top of your mind, go for it.
Well, the way that I remembered it, the Flicker was in a tree and hung out outside the village, and the people would come out and drop a little food crumbs, and it was just a wonderful little interaction between the people and the animal kingdom, you know, the four-legged and the two-legged and the winged ones. Anyway, one night the village caught on fire and Flicker said, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And flew down over the village and flapped its wings and put the fire out. And when it got to Great Spirit, Spirit said, oh, the love that you have, from now on I want to have the wings underneath you be the orange color, which represents the fire that you put out. And I'm going to put little heart shapes on your feathers to remind people of the unconditional love that you have. And with that story, taking that, and that's what we need to stay centered on.
Yes.
You know, a lot of medicine.
That's a wonderful story.
A lot of medicine people carry Flicker feather in their medicine bags for that reason, because it is that love, and that's what we need to focus on now. And when we look at a chart and we say, okay, your destiny, I see your destiny right now with your north node. Jan Spiller is an astrologer who wrote a book called Spiritual Astrology that I just adore her work, because she takes you deeper into it. And the north node is where we make our agreement before we came in, and you have your north node in the sign of Cancer, and that's that beautiful balance of the male-female. My husband and I are twin flames. We're one that's 27 years. This next full moon will be our 27th anniversary. So we understand about beloveds and what we call, what you were talking about when there's some equal there, we call it unequals. We're both unique and we're equal. There's not a higher or a lower. We come into our center as the male and the female, honoring that in each, not trying to pound it out of, you know, or...
That's a lovely term.
Beautiful.
And I do want to make sure I said that if people wanted to get in touch with you, you would tell them how they could do that. And I...
Well, easy. StarSavoy.com.
Okay, and that is spelled just like you would think?
S-T-A-R-S-A-V-O-Y.
All one word.
Yes.
.com.
Thank you. Yes, I am offering a reading that's bringing in the medicine wheel along with the reading. And if somebody's listening to the show and wants to send me an email that they heard this, I'll give them a special discount.
That's wonderful. And I'm sure they'll learn a lot about it. Now, I'm sure people are going to ask, how can you put a lunar and a solar astrology together? Because the Earth astrology is based upon the lunar cycle and the traditional astrology on the solar. And interestingly, the sun is the male in native philosophy, and the moon is the female.
So we have the sun-moon connection, and we see the polarity of that. When I do the chart, I will do it on the birth information. And having the time of birth shows me what the rising sign, and the rising sign is based on the constellation. What is a constellation rising in the eastern horizon the moment a person took their first breath? That gives us a rising sign, our ascendant. And from there, then I can tell the four corners, the guardians of the four directions. So we look at the moon and see where the soul's longing is, where that aspect, where we get into, like with your moon in Capricorn, even though, let me see, your sun is in Aries, you see, that red hawk and that strength that you have to come out and have all that energy to circle around and look at the details and really focus in on what you want and go after that. You know, that Aries is your sun, but your moon is in Capricorn, and that's where we would bring that in, where family, tradition, all of these things are important in the way that you have your value system in your soul. Do you see?
Yes, and I think you say that right now, the snow goose time, the Capricorn energy is very prevalent for everyone. And that makes everyone have this desire for more sense of spirituality and ceremony and tradition. Because it is broken down so much from the traditional patriarchal ways of dealing with it, I think there's a lot of searching for new ways. Another book that I'd love to write sometime is called Heart Celebrations, and it would be about how people who are very spiritual but may not have a particular religious affiliation could still have ceremonies, and people who could help them plan and carry out the ceremonies, because it is so, to me, it's so important to mark those stages in life. That and love, I think, are the two things that I came in looking to define better, and I'm still looking to define them in the best way that I can. I'm still thinking about love and what it means to people, because you have so many love-starved people in the world, just about everybody, and we're going around looking for love, and because everybody is so starving for it, we don't take the time to find it in ourselves, so we have some to give. First to our kids, first to our mates, of course, because that's when we should have kids, is when we have mates that we have good relationships with, and then to our children, so we can raise a generation that has love, an overabundance of love, and the capacity to give it to other people, because that's the only way the world is really, really going to change. I think we're down to our final few seconds with each other, and I'd like to use them to thank you, and then to take a moment. I know Carolyn starts with a prayer, but I'd like to end with a prayer of thanksgiving to all of our relations, and to remember who all of those relations are, so that people look down at the earth and realize that the earth herself, the rocks, the plants, are all part of that circle of life. And they look up to the sky, the moon, the stars, and they realize that that's all part of the circle of life. And they look around and they see all the wonderful faces of the children, of the adults, and they realize that we are all connected, and we're connected by our common destiny on this beautiful planet, and we're connected by the many gifts that Creator, Great Mystery, has given us. And I hope that you, Star, continue to be able to enjoy the great gifts you have, and that all of our listeners are able to find their own vision and their own gifts, and to appreciate the wonder and the beauty of this life that we share together.
Thank you so much.
And I hope that Carolyn continues with this radio program and has more and more people listening and learning and opening themselves up to things that we all need to think about in this time.
Yes. And we'll share this with everyone, too, that's wanting this information and opening up now their hearts to receive this and come back to nature. So thank you. Thank you, Marley, so much.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate your having been with me, and thank you for the reading of my chart compared to Sun Bears. It helps me to understand some things. And I want to thank all those who have been part of the Bear Tribe and the Medicine Wheel Circles and the Medicine Wheel Vision. And I wish you all good medicine, and by that I mean good life, good visions, good fortune as you continue with your own life. And please be in touch with me at MarleeSwabenWin.com and look for the new books that I'll be writing, because I'm in a period right now of a lot of books are going to be coming out. And I want to thank the radio station. I don't know how they end this program. And I will not I will do you the favor of not chanting. So I again wish you good fortune and goodbye for today.